is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Hello, Brevard County. Good to see you today on this Wednesday morning. Oh, wait a minute. I can't see you and you can't see me. God is good, isn't he? Somebody told me I had a face for radio. So y'all have a blessed day out there this morning. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida. And we have Bible study tonight. If you would like to come and be a part of what we are doing on Wednesday nights, we have a small group type Bible study that starts at 7 o'clock in the sanctuary. We have our youth meeting that'll be at 7 o'clock in the fellowship hall, and we would love to for you to come and avail yourself of whichever ministry suits your age bracket at that point in time. We do want to say thank you today to the folks at Wyrick Air Heat and Electric, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. And so I want to thank you for those who have called and asked them to come and help you with your air conditioning needs. Every once in a while I get a message from Dennis and says, you know, keep up the praying and keep telling people about the business, because they continue to get calls from people throughout the community. They travel all throughout Brevard County, from the southernmost tip to the northernmost tip, from the coast to the western boundary, and they can work on any type of unit. They can help you with your electrical issues. Give them a call, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. And they can get you up and running and kept cool during the oppressive summer heat. They can make sure that your power is fluctuating. I was talking to someone and they were describing some very antiquated electrical systems. Now, I know the house that I grew up in, or spent my final years of high school in, we still had fuses. We didn't even have breakers. I mean, it was an old house, and you know, if you are living in one of those, you need to bring that thing up into the modern times. I heard an electrician say one time, said the Smithsonian called and they want their exhibit back, and about an electrical panel. That's not something that you want to cheap, you know, go on the cheap about. You want to make sure that your electrical supply is current, that it's up to code, and that it will keep you functioning and keep your house safe. I remember hearing a story about an astronaut who said it's so reassuring to something along this lines. This is probably not an exact quote. It's so reassuring to know that your safety went to the lowest bidder. And I have found that sometimes just because something costs less does not mean it is a better value. If you have electrical issues or AC issues, give the folks at Wyrick Air a call, 321-632-9538. Want to remind the ladies again from Brevard County, you don't have to be from an Assembly of God church, but I do know that there are some listeners from Assembly of God churches throughout the county, that if you're interested in going to the Women's Thrive Conference for the ladies of Peninsular Florida, the early registration is August the 5th. And for the first five ladies of the Brevard, Volusia, and Flagler County areas that mention the coin phrase, refresh, thrive, That means that you heard about it on this radio program. This is the area we're promoting it in. And at that point in time, again, this is before September the 5th, or before August the 2nd. The conference is August 3rd through the 5th. Your $75 registration fee would be free. There's a hotel. You have to, in order to get the conference rate, you have to go through our district office. I can give you that phone number. It is area code 863-683-5726. I think there's a website that you can go to, PennFlorida.org, I believe it is. PennFlorida.org. Let me see if I can double check that. Yep, PennFlorida.org. Actually, the email, if you wanted to email the person, is jcotignola, jcotignola at PennFlorida.org to register for the conference. Going to be thousands of sisters in Christ that are going to be there. Karen Wheaton is going to be the main speaker. Her daughter, Lindsay Wheaton Doss, is also going to be ministering. Deanna Schrodes, our women's ministries director, is going to be there. Sonia Figueroa, as well as Lisa Shaw, are going to be there. Listen, our ladies love going to this conference. It's going to be at the Daytona Beach Ocean Center Arena, and the hotel is going to be the Hilton Oceanfront Resort, but you have to register through the district. And if you're going to get that hotel, you need to make sure that you get that information in by September the 2nd. The extension, if you're calling 863-683-5726, is extension 232. Grab a friend. If you know a young lady, this is not just for one age demographic of ladies. There is a full spectrum of workshops as well as general sessions that take place. There is going to be tremendous altar ministry that takes place, tremendous worship, and it's got something for everybody. And I want to challenge you, if you are a solid believer in Jesus and you know somebody who doesn't know Jesus, invite them. Offer to pay their registration. Offer to pay for their hotel. So listen, if cost is a stumbling block for them, believe God. Talk to somebody. Talk to a group of ladies at your church. If you can't sponsor somebody, talk to a group of ladies and say, hey, could you join with me in making this a ministry that we could get bring this young lady or this middle-aged woman to this conference? Who knows what miracles God will do during that time? Conference dates are October 3rd through the 5th. If you've got more questions, you can give us a call at Merit Assembly of God, 321-454-4263. We've gone through five of the Ten Commandments, and we're not going to spend a tremendous amount of time, you know, multiple broadcasts on all of these like we have with the ones that we have discussed so far. In fact, some of these verses basically could be boiled down to just a couple of words. Today, we're going to be looking at verse number 17 out of Deuteronomy chapter 5, and it says this: you shall not murder. You shall not murder. And that seems easy to do. It seems like we ought to be able to get that one right. But yet, we still have so many people who are assassinated, who are killed, who are murdered for stupid reasons every year. I remember hearing about a person who killed someone because they owed them a few dollars. It wasn't much. It was less than a day's worth of work at minimum wage, part time. And the person said, nope, I'd rather kill you than do without that money. There are so many messed up ways of thinking. And one of the things that we need to realize is that apart from Jesus, it's impossible for us to fulfill this. we see a whole lot of people around the world, and they are of the mindset that if you don't think exactly the way that they do, or if you don't act the way that they want you to, that you're expendable. I want you to understand, people are not expendable commodities. They are not disposable commodities. God wants us to value life. To murder here means to murder a human being. I thought I would go ahead and share that with you, because there are people out there who have tried to change that mindset to where it talks about other things. It means to dash into pieces, to destroy. It means to bring to complete and total ruin, dash in pieces, to murder it, to have no life in them whatsoever. And here's the thing. The concept of murder is contrary to the resurrection and the life, contrary to the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We've got to get to that place where we value life. There was a story. I read this article a couple of weeks ago, and I keep forgetting to mention it at our church, but I wanted to share it with you. There was a lady who had gone in. She was already in the process of aborting the baby that she was carrying, and she had to go in. And she had already taken the medication that they told her. It was a two-step medication process, and there has to be a time frame in there. And in between, they did an ultrasound. She was just about to take the second medication, and the person running the ultrasound said, "Oh, look, twins. Twins." That was all she said. And the mother that was on the table, when she heard that it was twins, said, I'm not taking this medication. She went, and there is a medication that many alternative pregnancy centers, life-giving pregnancy centers, such as Agape Pregnancy Center at First Baptist Church of Merritt Island, a tremendous ministry. It's a ministry that we support, and so she got in contact with them. There was a medication that she could take that would reverse the damage that the first medication had done, and she ended up giving birth to two beautiful, healthy babies. I never really thought that we would have to come to the place where we were debating over whether or not we should be murdering or not. I told Paul when I came in today, I said, well, here's one of my most controversial programs ever, Thou Shalt Not Murder. And it's like, God help us if we ever get to the place where that's not controversial. And the more that I've sat here and the more that I've thought about it, it's like, we've got people who are trying to promote murder on a regular basis. There are two different types of, I would say that there's three different types of deaths that are talked about in the Bible where two people are involved. One is war. War is it's ugly, it's horrific, it's damaging. Even if you come out of it, many times you have traumatic issues that you are left dealing with, and so that's one thing that's not what we're talking about here. I don't want to go to war, but you know, I'm also of the mindset that if we're going to be engaged in a battle, we're going to be engaged to win. That's my mindset. The second thing is there is manslaughter, which is where a person is involved in another person's death, but it wasn't premeditated. It wasn't intentional. You can read about a number of things in Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. Jesus, we've already talked about this in our Sermon on the Mount series that we are currently going through, and that is that he said, you're guilty of murder if you have been angry with your brother without cause. Without cause. So you and I, if something that happens, I've got some notes here. For murder, a person had to have anger. They had to have hatred. Many times they would lie in wait, or they would plot for the how they were going to carry out their plan. This is, you'd see some of this in Numbers chapter 35, verses 12 through 19. They would be hurling objects at them with the intent to destroy, and then there could be enmity, and literally people could beat people to death. Those were some of the conditions. And if that was the case, that people were angry, hated, plotting, throwing, and they were at war with one another on an individual basis, said there's no safe place for that. And so manslaughter was minus those things. You could be throwing without seeing. And so I remembered a story from my childhood before we moved to that house with the fuse panels that we were talking about earlier. Boy, that was a lot of fun changing those fuses out in the middle of the night when it was freezing cold outside too. But we lived at another house before that, and our house, I mean, it was open to every kid from the neighborhood. And we had a dartboard, and I threw a dart one time at the dartboard just as a young man from the neighborhood came running into the garage. It was a double car garage. The doors were open. He came running in, and I hit him right in the side of the head with a dart. That was pretty much the end of the dartboard, but there wasn't any intent to do any damage. There wasn't any intent. There wasn't any hatred there. So there was a scriptural distinction that was made between manslaughter and murder. Manslaughter, if a person had accidentally killed somebody, there was a city of refuge. Now, there are a lot of people who make decisions in today's day and time that put themselves in a legal jeopardy situation because of some of the actions that they made. So it might look accidental, but it was really something that they knew not to do. So you've got to realize, I mean, I'm so thankful I'm not a lawyer. I really am. I'm very thankful I'm not a lawyer. So let me just say this. If there were people who had killed someone accidentally in Old Testament times, there was considered the avenger of blood. That was a close relative. And many times they would make it their goal to kill the person that killed them. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, that sort of thing, life for life. And so if it was an accident, then they could flee to one of six cities of refuge, and they would go, and then there would be an investigation that was made. And if it was manslaughter, not murder, then they could stay in that city. They had to stay in that city until the high priest died. And once the high priest died, then they would be free to go home. If they left the city and the high priest had not died, then the avenger of blood was able to exact his revenge on them without consequence. So just thought I would throw those little facts out there for you. In Acts chapter 9, verse number 1, we see that Saul was a person who was a, you know, he was classified by Luke and by the Holy Spirit as a murderer. I'll read that to you here. This is the Apostle Paul. And so I want you to see that God can bring people from the depths of depravity and still do amazing things in their life. Verse number 1, then Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues. If you were looking in chapter 7, you would find that Saul, well, in chapter 8, the very first part of chapter 8, now Saul was consenting to the death of Stephen. He was guarding their cloaks. But he was being set up by God for a tremendous experience with the forgiving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to take you over to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and show you a little bit about what takes place when God is pushed to the background of society. In Romans chapter 1, says this, and even as, this is verse number 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they pushed God out of the mainstream of society, God gave them over to a debased mind. There was a mental shift that took place, a different thought style, a different thought pattern, a different societal culture takes place whenever God gets pushed out of society. And God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, there's where we're talking about here, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing that the righteous judgment of God, those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. And so we are all capable of doing some horrific things. If we just eliminate God, if we push him to the background, if we forget all about him, don't want to remember his word, don't remember him or honor him, we're capable of all of this stuff that was just described, which is horrific, and yet we see it on a global scale in our day and time. Why? Because more and more people are wanting to isolate themselves from exposure to the truth of God's word. I mean, I remember a time in America where more people went to church by far than watched the NFL. I remember a time where churches were quite full. And I guess there are still a few of those cases around, but for the most part, we are pushing God out of our society, and then we wonder why we see all of these things that are described in Romans chapter 1, we see them playing out in the headlines. And it says this, they not only practice these things, but they approve of those who practice them. Okay, so we're living in a society where people are not only violating this commandment, thou shalt not murder, but they even approve of some people. You don't believe me? Look at the headlines. Look at how polarized our society has been to see that a person who disagrees with somebody is all of a sudden hit with all sorts of death threats. Death threats. Both sides of the aisle, death threats. Why? Because you don't like their political view, really? We need to once again come to the place where we value life. Romans chapter 13, verse number 9. I don't remember. My clock, it just goes. It's amazing how fast this clock goes by. Romans chapter 13, verse 9 says, we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. That is the great summation of the Ten Commandments. And it operates from the principle that we are not to do any harm to our neighbor. James chapter 2 and verse number 11 says that we are supposed to speak and act like we will be judged by the law of liberty. And so we're not, that is in the context of murder there. We're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to speak and act as if we're going to have to give an account of that. And so it goes on there to say that judgment without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. But mercy triumphs over judgment. In James chapter 4, it talks about people who murder and lust and covet and fight and all of that simply because they do not simply ask, or they ask to spend the answer on their own pleasures. Friendship with the world is the problem. We want everything right here and right now. We do not recognize that man was created in the image of God. And he was. And so we need to make sure that we value people as much as Jesus did. Jesus does not want any to perish. He wants all to repent and come to everlasting life. In 1 John 3:12, we read that Cain murdered Abel because his works were evil and Abel's works were righteous. And so I want to encourage you today, instead of adopting a death style, let's adopt a lifestyle where we're not trying to eliminate someone's life or harm somebody's life or get revenge for something that they did to us or any of that sort of stuff, but instead that we will be we will be a life giver. We will be a joy in a vessel of joy. We will be a person that when we come into the room, we'll be able to diffuse tension instead of exacerbate it. And so I encourage you. I got to thinking about this. There was a movie called The Minority Report, and this person processed people who committed murder before they committed murder. And then all of a sudden his name came up and he said, you know what? I could never do that, until he found out he could. Thank God he spares us. We'll see you next
Thank
time.
Thank you
right
for tuning
Refresh.
In today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.